Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 7, 11 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Luke 7, 11 through 17. That's where we're going to be at today. I went back and forth on the title of this message for today. I settled on no funerals today, but if you're a note-taking person, you can write that down, or you can write down Jesus changes everything. Because he does change everything. And in the scripture we're going to look at today, he really changes the lives of the all people involved. And in the scripture we're going to look at today, Jesus kind of takes a turn in his ministry, and we're going to see that today. Before we move forward, let's go ahead and pray as we transition into reading God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. And in these moments, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see your Word. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, for these few moments, that you would help us to be attentive, God, during this time so we can hear from you. Lord, and that you would help us to apply the things that we're going to learn today to our lives so that it could be done for your glory. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's look at Luke chapter 7. To kind of give you what's going on here, Jesus, he's coming from Capernaum, and he's coming into Nain. In Nain, it's a small place. Jesus, he has his disciples, and he's got a large crowd behind him because he's Jesus, and he's been performing miracles, so he's got a large crowd. So Jesus and his disciples are coming into the gates of Nain, and as he enters the gate of Nain, there is a large crowd coming his direction, but they're coming in a funeral procession. So we've got two groups of people here. A funeral procession is taking place in Nain, and Jesus and his crowd are coming, and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are about to collide. And lives are going to be changed forever because Jesus enters the scene. So let's look at Luke chapter 7, 11 through 17. Soon after, he was on his way to a town called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd were traveling with them. Just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he came up and touched the open coffin. This may have been a stretcher in this day and time. I just want to note that. And the pallbearers stopped, and Jesus said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." This report about him, being Jesus, went throughout Judea and all the vicinity. So today we're going to unpack this verse, and the way we're going to do that, we're going to look at all the people, or most of the people in the story. So let's start off with the widow woman. In verse 12, it says, a dead man was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And Luke, he goes ahead and he spells out very quickly the dire situation this woman is in. This woman is already a widow. She's lost her husband. And now her only son has died. And this would be a terrible thing for any woman, unless you're not liking your husband at the present moment. I'm just kidding. Or if you have a child. And I know our child sometimes, he acts up, or the children that I coach on his team or during cross country. Sometimes, you know, I want to harm them, but not hurt them. I'm just joking. But this would be a terrible tragedy for any woman in any place, but so much more for this woman in Jesus' day. Not only is this a personal tragedy for her, but it's also an economic one as well. This woman, without her son, will have no means of support in Jesus' day. Unless she has family that's there to take care of her, this woman would not have any status without her son. She couldn't own a business. She's not going to make any voting decisions in that day. People are not going to go look to her. She is a widowed woman who's lost her son. She is alone and all by herself. This woman, without her son, would most likely be reduced to begging for food. She would be penniless and alone. And that's on top of losing her husband and losing her only son. But of course, Jesus, he knew this. He had compassion on the woman and he took action. And as we read, he raised the man to life, raised her son to life. And Jesus said, get up. The dead man, he raised to life. And then he said, and then the scripture says that Jesus gave the man, the dead man, back to his mother. So that's the widow woman. We'll come back to her later. Now the dead man, he's there, but he's not very active in the story until Jesus enters the scene, right? So let's read about the dead man. Just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, don't cry. Then he came up and touched the open coffin or the stretcher, and the pallbearer stopped. And he said to the young man, I tell you, get up. And then the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. So what do we know about this dead man? What's the obvious? He's dead. And hello, what else happens? He's brought back to life. I mean, you know, like that's a pretty big deal. If we were to see that today, I think it would shock us. And we're going to talk about the crowd here in a minute. I'm sure it shocked them. They were in awe. But this dead man was made alive. He's now alive. He was on his way to his grave, but Jesus showed up on the scene in Nain that day, and Jesus had other plans for the man. He raised him to life. And outside of being raised to life, you know, which I think is a pretty big deal, we don't know much about this once dead man who Jesus made alive. We do know these things, though. He was his mother's only son. His father had died, and the dead man died. So he's experienced grief and probably some pain and suffering in his life from losing his father. Now, before we move on to the crowd, there's just something in this passage that I wish they had a little footnote in the bottom of our Bible and told us a little bit more about it. In verse 15, it says, the dead man sat up and began to speak. Wouldn't you want to know what he said? Couldn't Luke have just told us a little bit about what the dead man said when he was raised to life? So maybe what did he say? Sure, maybe he woke up and he saw Jesus and he says, who are you? And what has happened to me, right? Maybe he said that. Maybe he said, I'm alive. Maybe he said, well, you see, like I was saying before, I like the way the fish tastes when we cook it that way, because maybe he choked on a fishbone, you know? Who knows? But back in Jesus' day, maybe that's what happened. I'm not sure. But I wish they had that little footnote in the bottom, because I would love to know what the dead man said when he was giving back his life, when Jesus said, get up. I'd love to know that. And then we have the crowd. It says, then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. This report went about him throughout Judea and all the vicinity. Could you imagine being in the crowd that day? They were in awe of what they just saw. They could do nothing but glorify God. I think we'd have done the same thing probably, right? Our jaws would have hit the ground. Some of us may have fainted because a dead man was raised back to life. They could do nothing but glorify God. And the report about Jesus went through all of Judea and all of the vicinity. One commentary says this about Luke 7, 11 through 17, and particularly the crowd. The raising of this young man was one of the most decisive and instructive of our Lord's miracles. There was no doubt that this dead man was dead. There was no delusion and no agreement to impose on the people. So in other words, Jesus didn't have to talk to people about it. Jesus just showed up and it happened that the young man was dead. He came near to the city with no reference. No one invited him here, Jesus. He was just passing through to this young man. Jesus met the funeral procession as it was, and by a word, get up, the young man was restored to life. And all those who had the best opportunity of judging, in other words, to say this wasn't true, the mother, his friends, the crowd, believed the dead man to be dead and that he was about to be buried. The evidence that he came to life was decisive. The dead man sat up, he spoke, and all were impressed with the full assurance that God had raised him to life. Many witnesses were present, and none doubted that Jesus, by a single word or phrase, had restored him to his weeping mother. The crowd could not disagree with what they saw. All they could do was stand in awe of what just took place. And Jesus was beginning to rise in fame because of what just happened. Now, before we get to the last character in this story, and if you think I'm closing up, I'm not. So don't get happy if we're only about 8 minutes in. You're thinking we're going to lunch. We're not quite there yet. Before we get to our last character in the story, Jesus, I want to interject a statement. Now listen, I don't want to ruin your day or your morning, or maybe you're having a great week or the best day ever, right? Just like the widow woman and the dead man, and guys, you are going to say yes, I already know this. Suffering is going to come in this life. It's going to happen. And if you're an Auburn fan, you already know suffering comes in this life. Auburn fans, what happened yesterday, all right? Like, it's the University of Tennessee. UT, right? I mean, come on now. Now, I'm a West Virginia fan, so I could totally understand. I don't know what happened to us yesterday either. But Auburn fans, it was bad. But there's good news today. Jesus provides you with some good news. In John 16:33, it was really bad yesterday, right? I mean, it was a home game. And UT came in. UT got beat by the bye week, and then they beat Auburn somehow. I don't know how that happened. John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. We're not going to go back and talk about all these things he's told today. You will have suffering in this world, Jesus says. It's true. Be courageous. I, being Jesus, I have conquered the world. Let me say that again. I have conquered the world. Jesus has conquered this world, and we can have peace in him. Suffering will come in life. You may have a loss of a job. You may have applied for a job. You were interviewed, maybe for a position that you were hoping to get. It didn't work out for you. Maybe you've had a loss of a relationship. Maybe you're divorced in here today, or you've been divorced twice. Maybe you had that loss of a relationship because of choices that you made yourself. Or maybe that other person just said they didn't love you anymore and they left. Maybe you've had a loss of a loved one, either by death or maybe through just relationship. Maybe your relationship's just so bad that there's been a loss of that loved one in your life. Maybe you've lost material things. There's going to be suffering in this world. And let me tell you something. If you have not experienced suffering, and this is why I told you I don't want to break any bad news to you. If you've not experienced suffering or pain in this world, you will. And this is true for the believer as well. For us believers in Jesus, it's true as well. I think I told this exact story the last time that I spoke, but it's been about 3 or 4 months ago, so none of you are going to remember, and it's okay. A year after Jesus came into my life, I was 17 years of age. I experienced quite a bit about a year after. About 2 to 3 days after I came back from my first year of college, my freshman year in college, I came home. It was the last time that I would come home to my family. Then on, I lived at my college for the next 3 years. My mom told me that she was leaving my dad. They were going to get divorced. I didn't see my mom for about 2 weeks. I'm 18. I had no idea how to get in touch with her. I didn't even know where she went. Literally about 2 days later, if that, my car breaks down. It wasn't even a nice car. It broke down. we paid like $350 for the thing. I am riding my bike to work at this point, okay? Now, let me talk about the bike. It wasn't just any bike. My boss at work, and I worked at Crystal Burger, by the way, and that's not the suffering I'm talking about in the story today, working at Crystal Burger. The suffering I'm talking about here is all these other things, but I'm riding a bike to work, and it is a woman's bike. And it's not even got manly colors. Like, it's teal green. Like, it's just bad. And it's got, you know, it's white, teal green stripes. And then it's got the bar that goes down, like that's a woman's bike. So I tried not to ride it during the daylight because my friends would see me and people would see me. So I'm riding my bike back and forth to work. I'm going to the grocery store to get food for myself and for my brother because my dad's dealing with a lot from the divorce. There's other things going on in his life. So people didn't see me. I'd ride my bike to Walmart like at 12, 1 in the morning. And then think about this. It was hot during the summer. I smell like a Crystal Burger driving home at 4 in the day. It just was bad. The heat and the Crystal Burger smell just didn't work out. But in all seriousness, bottom line, I'm 18, my brother's 13, we're alone. A lot was going on. I've got other stories in my life too. This was a difficult time in my life, but God has been able to use my story to talk to other people. There's other stories in my life that I've been able to use to talk to other people. It took some time for me to even tell my story to one individual or two, because I was ashamed to tell my story. And that's just what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to use our story for God's glory and for our good. He can use your story too. Will you let him? Now listen, I'm not going to completely unpack these verses we're going to get into today, but it goes with what we're talking about today, that God, he will use your story, and that God, he will use your story and your platform for his glory and for your good. And so the first scripture we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. It says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is experienced in your endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the suffering, so you will share in the comfort." So to break this down just real quickly, God comforts you in your time of need. Then God gives you a platform to comfort others with your story. Does that make sense from the verse? And here's the thing. Don't be afraid to use your story. The enemy will say God does not want you to share your story, that other people don't want to hear it, or that this is too embarrassing for you to tell somebody else. No, that's not true at all. Or the enemy will say, God is not around in this mess. Yes, he is around in this mess. And don't you listen to the enemy. Don't you listen to the devil. He's telling you a lie. He wants to use your story for God's glory and for your good. In Romans 8:28, it says this, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose." God wants to use our story as a platform for his glory and for our good. I know I've said that multiple times, but you need to hear it today. And you say, "Ross, I don't want a platform." You've already got a story. Use it. God wants you to have a platform to share your story so that he can get glory and you can comfort others in the process. This is easy to say and very difficult, I think, to comprehend and experience. But here's the deal with Romans 8:28. The faith of the believer, the one who follows Jesus, does not waver in pain and persecution, because we know that God is with us. Jesus has overcome the world. We can trust him. We can come to him in our time of need. And as we heal, our story, our life story, our sufferings can be used to comfort others. So this verse today, it came in as I was prepping for what I was going to share with you today. Somebody needs to hear this in here today. It's Matthew 11:28. I'm not sure which one of you or how many of you need to hear it today, but it says, "Come to me." This is Jesus speaking. "All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Some of you in here today, you are hurting, you are tired, you're tired of putting on the show that everything's good and all together and everything's great. You're tired of coming to church on Sunday mornings with a smile on your face when things really aren't all together. Let me tell you something. It's okay to lean into Jesus in that season in your life. It's okay to lean in to other followers in this season of life. There are people here that will love you and listen to you and pray for you and walk alongside you in your journey. Trust Jesus. "Come to me," he says. "All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." back to Nain. Luke 7:11-17, I'm going to read it again, up through verse 15. Soon afterward, Jesus was on his way to a town called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd were traveling with them. And just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he came up and touched the open coffin, or the stretcher, and the pallbearers stopped. And Jesus said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. When Jesus enters the story of the widow and the dead man, everything changes. I want you to hear this right here. There has been no mention in this scripture or before this. You can go back and look at the beginning of Luke chapter 7 and before. There's no mention of faith by the mother or the crowd. No one there. The mother has not asked Jesus for help, has not demonstrated faith in Jesus. Obviously, the dead man has not asked Jesus for help because he can't, right? He's not proclaimed faith in Jesus. The widow woman has not proclaimed faith in Jesus. The crowd has not, maybe the crowd that was with Jesus, but they didn't know this was going to take place. The action here is solely at Jesus' initiative and depends only on his power, and that's how salvation works. When he speaks, when Jesus speaks, things happen. He simply issues a brief command to this man. "I tell you, get up." And that's all that's required. Jesus had full compassion on the weeping parent and by a word restored the young man who was most likely on a stretcher to his life. The dead man sat up and spoke. Jesus, therefore, he had power over the dead. He also had power to raise sinners like you and I who are dead in our trespasses, dead in our sin, afraid in our shame, to life. I want to point out something here. A funeral procession was going on in this story, right? Jesus entered the picture. What happened? No funerals today. That's what Jesus says. No funerals today. A mother is grieving the loss of her only son. That would soon stop. Jesus enters her story. The grieving stops, and soon hope and joy would replace her grief. No funerals today, says Jesus. A young man was on a stretcher on his way to his grave. Not today, says Jesus. Everything changed in a moment because Jesus met them at the gates of Nain. On another day, there would be a funeral. This young man would be carried on a stretcher. His funeral procession would take place. He would make it to the grave, this young man. He would be buried, but not today. Jesus said no funerals today. He had other plans. We don't know what happened with this man or this widowed woman. But Jesus entered the story and everything changed. The report about him went all throughout Judea and the vicinity. When Jesus enters our story and this story, we can only tell people about him and what he has done. So when he has done something in our lives, why can't it be? And the report went out about him all throughout Decatur and the surrounding area, in Hartsel and the surrounding area, which would be like Faulkville and Danville Neal, right? Or Huntsville and the surrounding area. Or Alabama in the surrounding area. When he entered this story, he changed everything. So in closing today, this story is one of salvation. It's a picture of the gospel, you see. The world was dead in sin, just as the widow's son was dead. Being dead, this dead man could do nothing to help himself. And guys, we are just like that. We were dead in our sins, or today you may be sitting in here and you are dead in your sins. And there's nothing you can do about it. Only Jesus can do something about that today. God had compassion on us. He had compassion on this dead man. He sent Jesus to raise his life. And he sent Jesus to provide us with an opportunity for salvation. The dead man did not earn his second chance in life, and we cannot earn our new life in Christ today. We can't do that. There's nothing I can do in myself to save you. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. It's only through Jesus. It's only faith in Jesus Christ by his grace. Now here's the thing. We can accept God's gift of life. We can thank him for it. And we can use our lives to do his will, to comfort others, as we talked about. As we encounter things in our life, we can use our lives as a platform for God's glory, which he will use for our good to comfort others. And we can surrender our lives for the kingdom of God. So the question I have for you today as we end is, we're all, guys, I guess technically walking towards our funeral, right? One step at a time, if we're being technical about it. The question is are you dead right now? Maybe you're a Christian today and you are just going through the motions. Maybe you're in the crowd, right? The crowd was just watching. There were people there that were just mourning. They were paid to be mourners. They were part of that crowd for this young man's funeral. Maybe you're just being an observer right now in the Jesus story. Maybe today you don't know Jesus and you're in here today. Jesus can enter your story and change your life. So today I ask, what are you going to do with Jesus? And today I say, your funeral can stop today. Jesus can enter your life. He can change your life. Guys, you may go to a physical funeral one day, but a spiritual one you will not, because you will be raised to life with Jesus. And that's good news today.